plate a potential nugget.
Raghu, you've been doing this work for the last several decades, four decades. When we look at the paradigm of leadership today versus maybe two or three decades back, I think you alluded to it in the conversation, you know, sort of the military
kind
of style to what we need today. When I looked at the Mahabharata Pandava archetypes, I got a sense that the relevance of the Nakula's style of leadership as compared to the Bhima style of leadership is a little greater. Can you talk a little bit about how the leadership ask has evolved over time?
Yeah.
The state of business.
See, I think all the five powers that we're talking about are critical. And if you look at organizations that have lasted for a long time, either by design or by luck, the right type of leadership has come up and somebody has recognized it and celebrated it. Right? But what has happened is that the popular discourse and the popular idea of leadership till, I think, 20, 30 years back has rested largely in the colonizing kind of thing. Now you go, you capture market, this capture and market share and all of that. This Pepsi versus Coca-Cola model, right, has been very prevalent. Right? Now, when you're constantly looking at this, and you're saying there's danger, you tend to forget a lot of other things. Right? Whereas when you take a Tata's, for example, when they say we also make steel, they mean it. Yeah, I don't think many people know that the first people in the world to say, let's bring a social scientist to an organization to see how to build culture was the Tata's. That is Nakula leadership, where you really understand the value of people and you invest in them for the long term. Right? Now, very obviously, last 20, 30 years, innovation has become very, very critical. So you see a lot of places, like Microsoft and things like that, the real leader is a Sahadeva. But he has a Bhima type person who is doing the marketing phase. But the real power, the axis of the power is in the Sahadeva type of leadership. Right? My feeling is that with the fast pace of change in the world and things like this, the Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadeva will gain prominence. Right? Contextual intelligence is going to become very critical. Right? Knowing how to really nurture key people and to create a core of institution building people is going to become very important. Innovation is going to become very important. It's not as though entrepreneurship or bringing order and predictability are not very important. But I think these will have to take the lead, because if there's too much of building order, it becomes static, right? If there's too much of this, let's go and, the startup kind of a thing, you don't build an organization, right? The organization building comes when all five, in a sense, dance with each other. But I think long term, you have to invest in key people. Right? The faster the reality changes, the less you're going to be able to collect knowledge and collect ways of working and real that what they call sight technology. It will all be in the heads of people. It's only when you have the same thing happening over a long time that you can convert it into SOPs and this and that, and knowledge can get spread. But if you're going to have to keep innovating, keep changing, it's people who are key.
And in the book, along similar lines, you talk about the ABCD of timeless leadership, which I found, that it sort of, it felt easy to absorb the way you sort of framed it. Awareness, balance, contextual intelligence, and dharma sankata. Understanding dharma sankata. Can you sort of expand on this? Why do you say these are timeless and, you've singled these out?
Fundamentally, I was trying to decode what I thought were the key aspects of the Mahabharata characters. Right. Now, if you look at Let me give you a story from a Zen context. Na? See, there's a discussion about who is going to win and what does it mean to be in a fight, between a sensei and a student, right? So the sensei asks the student, na, what do you think is the most important thing for you to focus on? He says, the knife. Guy says, you're dead. Then he asks the question again, what do you think is the most important thing to focus on? So he says, I have to look at the guy and the knife. Right? And then he asks again, what's the most important thing? So it goes on like that till the teacher says, you have to look at the guy, you have to look at the knife, you have to know that there's a crowd around watching it, and you have to know that there are pebbles on the ground that can trip you up. Right? If you don't have this width of awareness, you can't win. Right? And there's a book by Miyamoto Musashi, no? About the types of stances you take. Yeah? There he emphasizes the stance of silence and the stance of space, which is completely relaxed. In yoga, it's called sthira sukham. You're completely at rest, but you're completely aware. That is balance. Right? So when you're there, you can be tipped off. You can be pushed, but you won't fall. But if you're rigid, one push and you'll fall. Right? So an organization needs this balance, no? Right?
State of equilibrium.
A state of equilibrium, peace, but readiness, na, sthiram sukham. Right? And contextual intelligence is obvious, yeah? I mean, if I don't know the trends, right? You'll be like Lehman Brothers, na? You'll be preparing. One of your friends must have been doing that. The PPT, the famous PPT that was supposed to be presented next week, right? There were beautiful PPTs being presented about the long-term future of Lehman, except that next week it didn't exist. Yeah, so contextual intelligence is very, very key to know what are the macro trends, what's going to happen, how things are going to move. And now business becomes more and more complex, no? From exchange rates to war and this and that. Right? So if you don't have contextual intelligence, how do you navigate? How do you make choices? And like we discussed before, for leadership, it's always balancing of forces. Yeah, it's not some victory somewhere. Na? And you know, in so many fields, yeah, you don't know who's your customer and who's your competitor and who's your collaborator. Na? Right? In IT, yeah, you can be buying something from IBM at one level and working with IBM to deliver something at another level. In a third place, you could actually be fighting IBM for a job. Right? In that context, it's all balancing of forces and how do you keep this going? Right? And balancing of forces to me is also dharma. Right? When it's not just your stakeholders who you're talking about, right? Talking about the earth, you're talking about sustainability. So all that requires an understanding of this balance of forces.
I happened to speak with Jennifer Gavi Berger, an executive coach and author of Unlocking Leadership Mind Traps. She speaks about the kind of leaders we need in the future.
I think that leaders in the future will need to respond not to the short term, but to the long term. We're seeing that right now. Not to the disconnected, but to the interdependent. I think leaders will need to respond with their whole selves, their mind, their bodies, their emotions, and to the whole selves of other people, their minds, their bodies, and their emotions. And in a much clearer way, away from competition, which has often fueled humans and organizations, and into a deep sense of interconnectivity, because here we are all together, and trying to find a way for all of us to thrive is going to be every leader's job into the future.
And as you look around, Jennifer, any role models you see while it's still early? Any role models of leadership that you see emerging as you see different people deal with this crisis that's in front of us?
I mean, I have a bias here, but I am just finishing a blog today that highlights Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, who has had to face more crisis in her time as Prime Minister than other New Zealand Prime Ministers have had to in many, many years. And I find her blend of clarity, humanity, and experimental approach, I find that refreshing and incredibly helpful and hopeful for what great leadership looks like in the future.
This does sound quite a bit like a combination of Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva, as Raghu mentions.